Again, this is not Pastor Parker. I am filling in for the anointed, that brother. I miss him very much. For Pastor Parker, I'm filling in for him today. This is Victory Hollyfield on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hour of Intercession. We have a very special show in store for you today, a very special guest. She is no stranger, and I will be introducing her momentarily. Real quick, though, we have an announcement to make. Oh, man. Good morning. Good morning, y'all. I was about to speak to Rick. I'm so used to, usually I speak to producers and stuff. Rick, you doing okay? Do you mind speaking? Rick's like, I don't want to speak on there. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. thank you, Rick, too. He's just so generous, y'all. He's such a good producer. He really is. Real quick, guys, the AFA, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020 is coming up. It is around the corner. And we do not want you to miss this. It's going to help strengthen you, your marriage, family, as you live faithfully for God in a culture that is hostile to truth. So when is it? It is June the 25th through the 27th in the wonderful city of Tupelo, Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis, June 25th through the 27th. Our theme this year is In Defense of Truth. Our speakers, we got a lot of great speakers too, by the way. Dr. Frank Turk will be here. Dr. Michael Brown, marriage and family expert Laura Petherbridge, the one and only Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Alex McFarlane, the one and only, the beautiful man. Look, Mickey Addison, that's a powerhouse right there. Mickey Addison, Bishop E.W. Jackson, licensed professional counselor John Euler, Students for Life Outreach Coordinator Elizabeth Parker. Guys, we have a wonderful lineup. And on top of the conference, we're going to have a conference in the conference for your kids. So this is a conference for the entire family, Youth Apologetics Track for youth ages 4 to 17. So you do not want to miss this. To register and to get more details, simply go to marriagefamilylife.net. That is marriagefamilylife.net. And we actually have an early bird registration fee right now. If you go to marriagefamilylife.net, you can get a discount at a pretty good deal. You have until April 1st to get this early bird registration. So go now if you want to get it. After April 1st, it goes back to the regular price. But go to marriagefamilylife.net to find out more information about the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. I want to open up real briefly. We're going to be discussing today with our special guest, prayer, the power of prayer. I mean, hey, the show's called The Hour of Intercession, guys. We've got one of our goals is to cultivate the desire of prayer, having a prayer life, being consistent in your prayer life. And can I just say this? Also, where it's not just women being prayer warriors, but men too. I think sometimes we think that, man, women, we're all, and we do. I mean, even my upbringing, I saw women do it more so than anyone else, until I met Pastor Parker. I was like, man, that's a praying man. But real quick, I want to open up with Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 through 11. God, oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. I love the King James Version. It says, early will I seek thee, O Lord. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Here we go, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life itself, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes, but the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I am so grateful for the Hour of Intercession, Pastor Parker and his lovely wife, Miss Birdie. I thank you for their passion and desire of having a prayer life of their own and for wanting others to grow in prayer, to grow in the most powerful thing that any believer can ever do, and that is having communion with you, Father, and that is through prayer. I just ask, Lord, that it'll be none of me, none of our special guests who I'm about to introduce, but all of you flowing through us, Lord. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, without further ado, I got finished with all that. The beautiful, the talented, the anointed Evangelist Hurtison Goree, thank you so much. You're not a stranger. You're family.
Oh, I would just let you keep on.
No. Look, Pastor Parker has trained me. He called me yesterday. He's like, Jay, do this. And then he always says, now, but I want y'all to be led by the Lord now. I said, yes, sir.
So yes. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be back.
Man, it's so good to see you.
Thank you.
Came up in here fly, y'all. Wish I could have saw. Whoa. Had a hat on and everything. I said, I got to step it up. Step it up.
I have to show you how you do at 71.
You're 71?
Oh, yes.
Man. Is it okay for me to say this? I'm going to say it. Black don't crack. Look, Rick got a little nervous right there. Y'all, when I say you, I would not have given you 71 at all.
Well, thank you so much.
You do not look 71.
Well, thank you.
No wrinkles.
Well, I don't feel that way. I feel 16, even though the hair says different.
You look really good. And I'm not just saying that because you know me. If I only compliment was true because
thank
I ain't about to lie.
Thank
you. Wow, 71.
Yes.
It's probably because of your powerful prayer life.
Probably so.
That's what I think. Your walk with the Lord.
You know, he's always beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
And he takes care of his little ones, and so I'm just thankful.
Man, I'm so thankful that you're here today. We're going to be discussing a high priority of prayer, and I know that you have had a life, and you still do. You live a life of prayer.
Yes.
And honestly, I want to be like you when I grow up.
But thank you.
I am growing in this and having a life committed to prayer on a consistent base. I've always prayed, but I want to be one where scripture says, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
How did you get to being like this? Like where you constantly pray.
I constantly pray, but it took me some years to get here.
I like your honesty.
Because I was out there, thought nothing about it. Thought nothing about reading the scriptures. Thought nothing about it. I will always pray before I would go to bed. And when I would go to church, I laugh now and say, I was glad when the pastor stopped preaching so I could listen to the music.
But, I love your honesty.
But God pulled me, because I think about Jeremiah when he said he knew him before he wove him into the womb. So he knew I would be here at this particular time for such a time as this.
Yes, ma'am.
But it took some knocks and some bruises and some hurts and some pain to get me here. And he kept me through the process.
Growing up, did you have someone in your life who was a prayer warrior? So did you see that by an example?
My mother and my father.
Your daddy too?
Oh, yes. Yes. Very much so. Most so my daddy than my mother.
Wow.
And we would all, it's seven of us. And my father on Wednesday night, he would put all seven children around the bed. He would be at the head, my mother would be next to him, and all seven would be around the prayer bed. And wow. He would pray. My mother would pray. And my mother and father died when she was very young, so she had to raise herself. And matter of fact, her mother died when she was 9, the dad at 11. So she would always pray, Lord, let me live to see my children grown. Let me live to see my children successful. Let me live to see my children able to take care of themselves. And so that was a constant prayer. And my father, it was never a moment in my life that I ever went to bed that my mother and father weren't there. I got up that my mother and father weren't there.
Wow.
So it was the role was set.
Mm-hmm.
The example was set. But you choose your own path. But it was still a part of me. I knew I couldn't stray this far, and I couldn't stray this far. I knew I had to stay at a certain place. But matter of fact, God was keeping me there.
Come on. Oh, I love that you said that. He knows who's going to be his children.
Yes.
And he always knows what's coming in our lives. And he knew that that you were going to be an evangelist. A minister of the gospel.
And who would have thought? Most unlikely person. But when I was a small child, probably about 6 or 7, God started showing me visions. I mean, literally, I could be walking and literally just see sheep. They would just come and they would just disappear. Come and they would just disappear. As a small child, I always knew things, but I just thought, this is normal.
Right.
That you would know things. This is just a normal thing for everyone. And I always did. And I just thought it was normal. But it was different.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Your dad, I love that you said that your dad was more the prayer warrior than your mom. Because
yes.
When we get scriptural, The husband is the head of the house. He's the example for everyone. And like I said, not that I'm not putting my dad down by no means. I love my daddy very much. But my mom was the, and even with my aunts, my mom is one of 10. So my aunts who are all married, they were more the more spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Do you know anything about your dad's upbringing that had him to be the leader and saying, come on, y'all, we about to pray?
Well, my grandfather was that way.
Your granddad, come
yes,
on.
My grandfather was that way.
So matter of fact, history.
Yes, I mean, my grandfather was just the head of the family completely. And my grandmother was very submissive as a wife, very supportive. But it just as my grandmother was laid back in the background, but she was his backbone and strength.
Mm.
But he stepped out with everything. And my mother was very strong. But she still let my father lead as in prayer and at church. And my father, all of us had to be right there in Sunday school, right there in church. And matter of fact, as I said, I had to sit right next to my mother because I always got into things. And I would tell people, I would sit right next to her. My sister and brothers could be someplace else, but I had to sit right next to my mother.
Right next to mama.
And I would, everything was just funny. And she would take my leg and pinch me, and then I would straighten up. And it was always something funny. And that's the way I've always laughed. And I realize now that laughter is anointing. Is a part of my anointing because I laugh. And when I laugh, when I'm in prayer, when I laugh, when the anointing is high, when I laugh, strongholds start breaking. And people around me know when I start laughing, they say, uh-oh. And I just, God just started showing me and that I can't explain it, but laughter have always been a part of my life. And I've been laughing ever since I was born, I guess.
Evangelist Hernestine, mm-hmm. We have Evangelist Hernestine here, Gori,
yes.
In the studio. Do you mind praying for married couples, specifically husbands, to be the leader in this aspect of praying? Because things change when we pray. Do you mind saying a prayer for our married couples out there?
And Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity again to be here, Father, because it's only through you. And Lord, you know the married couples that need to know about prayer.
Yes, Lord.
That wives need to allow their husbands to be husbands, and husbands need to pull themselves together, Father, so they can be the head of the family because it's so important. This is your command, Lord. And Father, right now I'm asking you to look over each married couple that's struggling in their marriage,
yes,
Father,
Lord,
to let them know if you're the center, everything else has to go around.
Yes.
And Father, I'm asking you right now to strengthen the husbands and the wives to be as one, and let the husband be the strength as the wife hold him closely, Lord. And Father, that you will hold each one of them in your care, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I thank you right now, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Man, I'm really looking forward to getting into this because I we're about to come up to a break. Because I want to also discuss, I have a number of questions for you, which I know you've been on many times to talk about prayer, but we can never discuss prayer enough because this is how the believer is to operate. Jesus was the perfect example. I wish I could see her facial expressions. Yes, ma'am. Like, he was the perfect example of praying. He would go away from the disciples and pray. And I mean, it was the Garden of Gethsemane, man, the night before he was crucified. And there goes the music. Thanks a lot, Rick, the producer. Guys, we'll be right back. We have our very special guest, our evangelist, Hernestine Gori, in the studio. Do not go away. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm filling in for Pastor Parker, Victory Holyfield.
If I lost everything and didn't have anything, and you were the only thing, I still have everything. If I lost everything and didn't have anything. And you were the only thing. I still have everything. It's you, my everything. It's you, my everything. It's you, my everything. I still have everything. Yeah. I still have everything.
Can you help me say
it? And didn't have anything. All right, I'm like, I'm gonna let Bree do that. That was Bree Babineau. She has a very weird last name. It's spelled weird, but I love that song. That was Bree Babineau singing My Everything. And she is so true. Like, if we did lose everything, if you have Christ, you still have everything. I was talking to my honey, y'all, and our special guest, because I would love for you to intervene with this conversation I have with my honey. Our special guest is Evangelist Harnessing Gori. Let me ask you this. How can people connect with you? Because you're also an author. You've written, I don't know, how many books have you written?
3, and I'm working on a 4th one whenever I get around to it.
Come on. How can people get in contact with you and reach out to you and even purchase your books? How can they do that?
They can get in touch with me on my Facebook page, Heard to Sing Gori. And they can also write me at Night Watch Ministry.
Night Watch Ministry.
207.
Road 1203.
Nelaton, Mississippi. And that zip is 38858.
38858. Mm-hmm. And I want to spell her name for you guys. It's HERTICINE. Gori is GOREE. And she's always posting some powerful stuff on her Facebook page. But that is one of the best ways to reach out to her. Man, I was telling my husband the other day, I said, we were talking about personalities, right? And we got a few members in our family, both sides. I'm the extrovert. He's the introvert. However, my honey, he does enjoy his me time. Sometimes a little bit too much. I'm like, hold up. But what we were talking about was people who are, I'm so sorry. Do y'all hear that cracking? It's a cough drop. Okay, good. Thanks, Rick. Cough drop, y'all. I'm trying not to cough. But what we've noticed is some of the people in our families that are introverts who they speak like they talk about how they're alone a lot, but they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. And I was telling him, I was like, what they think is a person that's going to fill that void, but what they really need is Jesus. And I said to him, I told my husband, his name is Lamar. And I said, babe, I said, that goes for me. Like times if I feel like I'm like, you haven't really pursued me in a period of time, which he does pursue me. But like, if there's a moment, you know, mm-hmm. marriage is up and down. Mm-hmm. I said, at the end of the day, I shouldn't look towards you for my fulfillment. It's still Jesus. I need the Lord.
Well, that's a good point there when you said, if he doesn't pursue you. Well, it's same with Jesus. If we don't pursue him.
All right now.
You know he gets lonely. He just loves to hear our voice. Just love to hear our sweet romantic talk.
You know what? I think a lot of people don't realize, because I know even from my mind, I'm like, man, I am a horrible sinner. Saved by grace. I'm so grateful.
All of us are.
I'm so grateful for Jesus.
Yes.
But when I think about it, I'm like, man, he really loved me.
Yes.
Because sometimes when I analyze my heart, I'm like, man, Lord, I am a wretched little sinner.
Yes.
Like, help me, Holy Spirit.
And you know, he just loves to hear, oh, Jesus, I just love you. I need you.
Yeah.
This is what we said to have a husband.
Right.
I love you. I just need for you to be here for me. That's what Jesus wants from each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants that walk so closely. And I always ask him, Lord, just pull me so close to you that my heartbeat beats with your heartbeat. And I just want to feel your breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's that love is so deep. It's just as if, as soon as I open my eyes, I just have to just need that embrace.
Right.
And how, he needs that embrace.
How is it? Okay, just so you know, there are things that you have that you are saying now, and even in past shows that I've heard you on with Pastor Park, I'm like, man, I need to add it to my prayer that my heartbeat beats his heart, beats as his heart. How can someone grow in their love with Christ? How does that happen?
He has to pull us. Years ago, as I told you earlier, I didn't have this walk. As they say, I was outspoken, didn't care if I hurt your feeling type person.
Really?
But God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with any of us saying that we are a Christian and think we can say anything. But it came to a point that God started dealing with me that I had no choice. And I remember one night I stopped breathing. And when he restored my breath, it was as if I took on a new life, which it was a new life with that breath that came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had surrendered completely, I thought. But I had this dream. And in the dream, it was some type of monster, some type of something that was attacking us, attacking my children, attacking me. And my husband was just fighting him. And finally, he was fighting him so that my children, it was like a fence here, and my children got across to safety. And I got across to safety. My husband got across to safety. But whatever was broken off of what he was fighting was like something very dark. Whatever was broken off, something was broken there. But I kept it in my hands. And when I kept it in my hands, what he was fighting, my children and my husband again to safety, but I was still holding it in my hands, and it grew back in whatever he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was darkness. It was a monster. And when it grew back, it released it and hit me right in the back. I did not make it to safety. And I fell. And when I fell down, I looked up. And when I looked up, Jesus was as large as the space. And he was looking down on me, weeping. Tears just weeping. And I said, Lord, what is in me that you will weep over me this way? And from that day, I was delivered. I was delivered from anger, from hurts, from pain, from the things I was holding on to that someone had said, someone had done. I was holding on to it. And holding on to it would not get you
right
in that prayer life.
Come on.
That God wants you in.
Ooh.
We're just calling mere words. And he broke it off. And from that time when he delivered me, he had to literally show me him weeping over me, that he loved me just that much. So who wouldn't want to be pulled closer to him to hear his heartbreak beat, to feel his breath, to know he loves you so much that he will reveal himself?
Man.
So it broke that day.
You're making me think of Psalms 51:10, create in me a new heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. And when I read that verse, I think about how analyzing our hearts and acknowledging areas in our lives that are sinful and that we need Christ to. Because one thing, when I go to my prayer closet, which, ooh, man, Miss Hardest thing, you know, started something. Mm-hmm. When I go to my prayer closet, I'm just like, I confess my sins to the Lord because I want to come before him free, you know, letting that, like, I'm going to be honest. And plus, he already knows anyway. Mm-hmm. And I want my prayers to be heard and I don't want them to be hindered. So, Lord, I got to come to him with a heart of being honest and transparent with him. But, and I love that he exposes those things and reveals those to me. So, because he loves me that much. That's how we should see it.
The bottom line of it is, to have that closer walk with Jesus, we cannot carry anything of the world. You just think about.
Whoa, come on.
He told Moses to pull those sandals off before he walked on holy ground.
Mm.
Those sandals were made out of animal skin that had been killed. You can't carry anything of the world in God's presence. Same with us. We have to shake off, let go of those things that we think are so important. We got to have to let go of it. And right now, if I have done something, instantly I said, I confess my sins. I have a prayer partner. I call her and I was said to her, I have done something. I have to confess my sins right now.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed.
Come on.
To tell someone I've done something wrong.
How did you get there? How did you get there to not be ashamed to confess your sin? Because some people, you know, it's.
Surrendering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surrendering. And the talk is cheap. My ex-father-in-law used to say, talk is cheap, it take old do. We have to do what we say.
Right.
If I say it, I got to do it. And I tell people all the time, if I say something, then I have to live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't, I have lied. And then when I go into doubts and fears, I have broken my vow to God because I promised him when I accepted him as my savior that I would trust him. So I broke my vow.
Mm.
I have to let go of this. Mm. I have to let go of disliking my neighbor because he called me a name.
Right.
And then when you let go of it, those very people God would bring right back for you to pray for.
Evangelist heard a scene. Time is just fine, but I'm glad we're gonna have you on again tomorrow. But I want to take time right now. Could you pray for people to be honest with themselves and where they are in their life, to be honest and confess their sins, and to have a desire to want to come to the throne of grace of God with a heart of sincerity and letting him know, I need help, God. I want to grow and I just love when you mentioned about how you have a prayer partner that you're like, I just sin. Like, I told my husband recently, I was like, man, I find myself, because I confess my sins a little bit more than him. I mean, I think maybe it's because he's an introvert. Because sometimes I'm like, man, Lord, I know I ain't the only sinner in this.
But it's family.
Yeah. But I'm always confessing sin. But I just could you pray for people to want to have a closer prayer walk with the Lord and to confess their sins to him?
Oh, Father, here we are once again, and we're calling on you, Father, to touch each individual that's struggling with their surrender to you, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
You know their needs, you know their hearts, and you know the ones, Father, that's calling out to you. You know the ones that's ready, Father, to surrender. You know the ones that heart is ready for you to just touch, Lord. And you know the one that's hearts are too hard. But, Father, right now, the ones that's calling out to you in humble submission, Lord Jesus, touch them in a special way. Pull them so close to you, Lord, that they can feel your heartbeat and just feel your breath of love, Lord Jesus. This is what we are asking in your holy name, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Because, Father, you hear the prayer of the righteous. And I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you this. I think we still have a few more minutes. Maybe we can squeeze this in before. And if not, we'll hit on it some more on the other end after the break. But I'm curious, how is your reading God's word? Because I know that our prayer in hand, I know times for me personally, man, there are times I'm like, man, Lord, I know that was you when I'm praying. I'm like, that was the Holy Ghost. But it's because I have been spending more time in God's word. How what does that look like for you? And how can other believers grow in prayer? Because it's a balance of the two. Would you say reading God's word and prayer?
Reading God's word is prayer. Because
yes,
when
ma'am.
I pray God's word.
Right.
Because remember, his word is like a hammer. It breaks the rocks in two. And when we pray for someone, those are rocks. And his word destroys those. So his word is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't pray God's word, then we are not remanding him. We're remanding him of what we want. But when you remand him of his word, he has to answer his words because he looks over his word to perform it.
Whoa. I was reading that. Yeah. He watches over his word.
That's right.
Is that Jeremiah 1:19?
I think so. So, and he's not a man that he shall lie.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, he looks over his word to perform it. All he wants us to do is to remand him. Mm. And that's it. Remember, David did. He said, God, you said that you were going to do it. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's his word.
We're about to come up to the break. This I'm gonna propose this question, and we'll hit on it after the music and after the rude break. But my question is, why are people lazy? Why do people not read their word and pray? And because to me, Jesus said in his word, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And honestly, I like to be honest. And just let's get to the root. I don't think people really love God. Because if we did, we would read his word. I want to hit you with that question. Why are people lazy? Y'all, we are here. Victory Hollyfield filling in for Pastor Parker. Our special guest is Evangelist Hurtising Goree. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. Favorite jams, the one and only Todd Dulaney with Your Great Name. Y'all, there's so much power in the name of Jesus. That's one of my mom's favorite songs. When she hears it, that woman get her praise on. Look, I told my husband one day, I was like, that's where I get my energy from. Our special guest, y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning back. Y'all, you know I'm from the South. Y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am thoroughly enjoying Evangelist Hurtising Goree. Look, she's an author, a mother, a grandmother, a minister, an evangelist of the gospel, and definitely a prayer warrior. And I'm just so grateful that she's here. I told her I have not. Thank you so much. I told her I'm not even fully following my questions because she'll say something. I'm like, man, it makes me want to hit on something else. But there was one thing that I had a question for you. Why do you think people are lazy when it comes to getting into God's word and praying?
Well, just like you said earlier, they claim that they love God, but the proof is not there. When you love God, you want to sit down, have a conversation, get a glass of tea, sit in the shade.
Tea.
And he just speaks to you because he speaks to us through his word. I remember when he was breaking off all the things of the world from me. And I was willing to be washed clean because I always ask God, wash me with your precious blood. I wash my mind and my eyes and my hands and my mouth so they would do the things that's pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. And when he was breaking all these things off for me and I was willing to be cleansed, reading his word was like Eden. Matter of fact, it was so delicious that I couldn't even move. I was just sitting, I built a prayer room just for me and God to meet to my home. I built that room. And I would got my Bible and I started to bring it today. And it just had little tabs in it, different colored tabs, about 5,000 or 6,000 little tabs where I would write what he would say, write what he would say. I just could not get enough. And it was just like food. Food couldn't even match reading his word because I could feel him. He was speaking to me. And when I would read the scripture, it was like my body would just start, something would be jumping inside of me. It was such a desire.
Man,
and I still do it now.
Can I just say, if someone's listening right now and you are really good with your descriptions. Like, I'm over here like, come on. Like, better than food. He is better than food. He is.
Taste and see.
That the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. Don't get me started. Yes, he is. Psalms 34:8.
Yes.
Y'all, I just listening to you, and if you're listening right now, maybe you're like, man, I just don't have that hunger and desire. I know one prayer that I used to pray, because we all in our season, in our walk with the Lord, you'll have seasons where you're on it, or at least you feel like, you know, I'm on it. And then seasons where you're like, man, it just feels dry. Mm-hmm. But he is always still there. I would always pray Matthew 5:6. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I would say, Father, give me a hunger and thirst. So maybe right now, because Evangelist heard a scene, she just used some descriptions right there that we all need, that we desire Christ more than we desire food. And we all know we like to eat. And I was just sitting over here thinking like, Lord, I don't even think I'm there yet where I desire you more than food. I love to be honest with myself. I love you, Father. I love my Lord. But I need to get to that point where I'm like, you are better than food. I can resist this to spend more time with you. Could you pray that people get more of a desire to want to get in his word?
Holy Spirit, once again, we are asking you to touch each individual that's listening right now, Lord. You know their desires, and Father, you know how you desire so much for each one to just call out to you,
yes,
humble themselves, turn from their ways, Father, and come running to you like the deer panting after the water.
Mm.
And Lord, right now, just breathe on each one of them, Father. Let them feel your touch, and Father, let them feel a touch they've never felt before, Lord Jesus, and they will know it's you, Father.
Mm.
That desire, that hunger, that touch, Father, just touch each one. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, right now.
Thank you.
Amen.
And Father, I just want to add, Lord, maybe someone's listening. They're like, man, I'm too young or I'm too old. Father, let them know that it is never too late to have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I just ask that you would help us all to move from glory to glory in Christ Jesus, Lord, and help us to want you more than anything,
yes,
and anybody. Help us to actually live out that we love you. We say it, but help us to actually show it through our actions, to turn off the phone, turn off the TV, and to just lay before you, Lord, and soak in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man. Yes, ma'am. You about to say something.
You know, you just mentioned, thank you for turn off the TV.
Yeah. I can't stand that thing. I mean, I watch it a little bit, but I'm like, man, TV get on my nerves sometimes.
Well, God is funny. He's funny. It was this TV show years ago named Monk.
That show's good. The OCD,
yes,
detective. Yeah.
I love to look at Monk.
Yeah.
So the season finale was coming on. And so I rushed. I was writing my first book. I rushed. I got everything put up. The computer turned
off. You ready?
I was ready. Got my bath. Got my water. Got my teeth brushed. I was sitting there ready for Monk. I heard the Holy Spirit just like I'm hearing you. What would you do for me? I said, now look.
Hey.
Don't fool with me tonight.
Don't do that.
And so,
wow.
Anyway, Monk came on and I sat up in the chair and I heard the Holy Spirit again say, what would you do for me? And so, okay, look, I'm looking at this. You know, I'm bold. I took on that boldness. I'm looking at Monk. I promise you, all at once, the Holy Spirit sprung up out of my chair and I stood straight up. I had to turn off the TV. He sent me to my bedroom, told me the channel to turn it on. And I did. And it was on a channel about children dying from nasty water. He told me the people to send that message to about donating money for these children. So still, I was bold. I looked at it and I said, okay, you know, I'll do this. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, just like he's not here, what's in my mind? I look at the episode of Monk tomorrow. Don't you know? Don't you know? That desire for Monk left.
Wow.
Wow. The desire left. He wiped it clean. He will not let anything stand in his way. He will snatch it. And he snatched it.
I just adore your honesty. I love people who are honest and transparent and don't come off. Because when people, if y'all were to meet Evangelist Hurtison Gorrie, you'd be like, man, she is like anointed by God, which you are, which you are. But I used to put people on such a pedestal to the point where I felt like, I bet they don't sin nearly as much as I do. Like, I did. And now I'm like, man, no, people are humans. Like, and I love that. Like, we still battle with this flesh.
Yes.
And for you, like, but what I also, with your story that you shared, God loves you so much. And he already knows the position of your heart that you love him so much. Mm-hmm. That's why he kept pricking at you.
Yes. And he pricked.
Yeah, he did.
He snatched.
And then he removed the desire completely.
Yes, he removed it.
It reminds me of a story. So this past Christmas, you know, we're a blended family. Mm-hmm. I'm a stepmom, and I'm a young stepmom, by the way, if I can say
so. You are.
Her parents are a little bit older, yeah, and I'm still young. And anyway, my husband, he's seasoned in a good way. But during the Christmas break, we had her, and I do not, the only time our television at one time was on the weekends when we would have her, because through the week, I don't like watching TV. But over Christmas, somehow, the Christmas movies and all that stuff and shows, I started by watching more TV. And my husband even noticed. He was like, babe, I'm noticing you're watching more TV. I said, I know. I said, this is horrible. Because I had stopped watching it for many years. Like, I would just watch it when we had my bonus baby. Well, anyway, I make a long story short, just to hit on, it was similar to your story. The Holy Spirit started convicting me and telling leading me up, this is time you could be spending in the Word. And so one day I was just like, Lord, remove this desire. I had literally went so many years where I barely watched TV. Mm-hmm. And if I was watching it, it was only with someone else, right? And only because, you know, and even then I sometimes didn't. And I kid you not, the Lord removed it. Now, and I'm so thankful, but I had to be honest with them. And I said, man, I don't want this to be an idol, because it was an idol in
exactly.
my life. It was an idol. Mm-hmm. Just like social media. That's another area I have to watch for. The cotton-picking cell phones. Cotton-picking. You know I'm from the South, y'all. Mississippi. But it's just the idols can creep in so easily. And remember, an idol is a form of a little G-O-D. God.
Exactly.
That's trying to take the place of the big G-O-D, our Heavenly
exactly.
Father. And so we have to be sober-minded and alert, because that adversary, he does roam around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want us to grow in this.
Exactly. And the bottom line of it is, by you being on social media, by me sitting there looking at Monk or not moving, I'm not living what I speak.
Mm.
And if my children or grandchildren walked in, then I'm doing something that I tell them not to do. Because that's,
wow.
Spend more time with God. How often do you read your scriptures? How often do you give God your time? Well, you know, I can say it, but still, this is a decision they have to make for themselves. I can't make it for them. My parents couldn't make it for me.
Right.
So this is something they have to make for themselves, but I can be a living example. This is how my walk is with Christ, mm-hmm. but they already know. They already know my walk with Christ. And then sometime, you know, someone might say, you know, you have, you spend all this time with Christ, you know your children need this, your grandchildren need that. Wait a minute, God is taking care of my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I raised my children. God is taking care of my grandchildren.
Come on.
So it's so easily that people think they can use, and it seems innocent, mm-hmm. that the enemy would use even your children sometime to say, why don't you take time? Why don't you go here on Sunday? Why don't you do this rather than doing this service? Well, why don't you come to service? I mean, so it's the innocent part. They would sometimes the enemy would use your grandchildren. Why don't you spend more time with them rather than doing what God has for you to do? Wow. And that's the easy way of being snatched. And if I wasn't grounded to hear what God is saying, I could easily fall for it. Mm-hmm. Easily fall for it. Oh, they're growing up so quickly. They're doing this so quickly. But what I want my children and my grandchildren and the household to realize is, if my son and his wife are having trouble, marital problems, what can I do by stepping in and putting my so-called intelligent words that can drive the dagger deeper? The best result, the best thing for me to do is say, God, you know how to take care of this. Yeah. And put them before the throne, right, and put them on the altar.
You a good mother-in-law.
You have to be. Right. Because we can so easily.
Yeah.
We can so easily think we are so intelligent. Yeah. With our so intelligent words, but they are not the word of Jesus. He knows what to do. So if something happened, I easily say, peace be still here. This is what Jesus said to the storm. This is a storm that's going on. Mm. Peace be still. And then I put him before the throne.
Man. Thank you. Y'all, we're going to do a part two of this. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Evangelist Herta Singh Gori, she has been in the studio with us today on the Hour of Intercession on this morning. If you want to connect with her, you can connect with her through Facebook, Herta Singh Gori, H-E-R-T-I-C-I-N-E. Gori is G-O-R-E-E. Or Night Watch Ministries, 207 Road 1203, Nettleton, Mississippi, 5-8. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, this is Victory Hollyfield filling in for Pastor Parker on the Hour of Intercession. Don't forget, get into the Word and pray.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.